Now, here's a preview of Powerful Women Revealed.
Baby, lay on back and relax. Kick your pretty feet up on my dash. No need to go nowhere fast. Let's enjoy right here where we at. Who knows where this road is supposed to lead? We got nothing but time. As long as you ride here next to me, everything's gonna be alright. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be.
Good afternoon, and welcome to WATD's Powerful Women Revealed, created and hosted by Nicole Perry. You're invited to enjoy an ongoing series of personal and educational discussions with a variety of women that want to educate, inspire, and bring awareness to the community. These women all have a powerful mission and appreciate the opportunity to share their stories, milestones, and successes with you. Here's your host, Nicole Perry.
And welcome to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and today we have a returning guest. She has over 30 years experience in commercial real estate. She has owned her own 24-hour gym business for several years and then sold that in 2014. And now she is consulting others to help them find the franchise of their dreams. Elaine Vakalopoulos, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Nicole.
And again, very happy to have you here. You were delightful guest last time. I think that what you do is so fascinating. Like, really helping people find franchises is extremely interesting.
Well, it's fun, and I think not enough people know that this role exists to help them with the process. I had one guy recently who was like, oh my God, I'm so happy. I wish I had you the first time around.
The first time around. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, now, you are a returning guest, and the last time we talked on the show, you mentioned that you live on Cape Cod.
I do.
But you're a Boston public school girl.
I am. Oh, I grew up in the city.
You did.
I did.
And where else have you lived?
I've lived in Greece. I've lived in New York City. I've lived in Chicago.
Oh, really? I didn't know all of that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you have your master's in real estate.
I do.
And you also went to MIT.
That's where I got my master's.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So tell me, how does the MIT play into this? Because it's kind of impressive.
Thank you. So after spending 10 years or so being a commercial real estate broker on the South Shore, I decided I wanted to take it to the next level, which is why I went for my master's. And that actually changed my career path considerably. I ended up on Wall Street, where I analyzed commercially traded real estate stocks. They're called REITs, real estate investment trusts.
And is that the whole screaming situation where...
No, I was not on the floor.
Okay.
No, that's a whole different world.
Because that is crazy.
It is.
Okay.
No, here I basically, you know, I would look at a publicly traded stock and I'd say, is this a buy, a hold, or sell? So the analytics that went into it are pretty similar to what I bring to the table today when I look at a franchise company. Who's the management team? What's the strategy? Does it make sense? Has it made money? And what does the future look like? So it's all of the same components, really, in the analysis aspect of it. So I have fun with that.
The success of it. That's important. The numbers of what is successful and what they've done.
Or if it's a young enough company, you really have to look at the management team. If I can give you an example, just this week I talked to two different companies. One of them, brand new, out of the gate. They want a franchise, so they're rolling it out nationally. They have two of their own stores, and two friends and family bought their first two franchises. But in talking to them, they really don't have all of their T's crossed and their I's dotted yet. So I'm going to hold back on that one and watch it as it grows. On the other hand, there's another brand that also has two of its own corporate franchises and two friends and family franchisees so far. But the management team, it's a married couple that has many years experience as multi-unit owners of other franchises. The husband has depth in marketing and other corporate, and the wife had also been on the inside of a franchise company helping it grow. So I have a lot of confidence.
Well, they know every inside and out and everything you can think of what to look for, what to pay attention to.
Exactly. So I feel comfortable showing that one now because I know that the training support ops will all be in place for a brand new candidate, even though there aren't that many in existence that a candidate can validate with. So there's...
And how many franchises are there, the options?
Oh, well, I mean, there's probably, there's 3,000 franchises out there across 60 or 70 categories.
And this is all in the New England area or this
nationally.
Is nationally?
Nationally.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So in New England, what are the, do you know what the numbers are for New England?
I actually do. I haven't added them all up. I can give you specifically because I remember Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So like I can tell you that across the United States, like I just mentioned, there's like 3,000 franchises, which translates into about 730,000 individual establishments out there across the country. Massachusetts alone has roughly 12,000 locations.
Wow.
So that's about 2%.
Wow.
And that translates into jobs. It translates into contribution to the GDP and the economy at large. So on a national scale, the numbers are huge. The contribution to the general economy is almost $700 billion.
Wow.
So that's a lot of money. And it creates a lot of jobs. And in Massachusetts, it's almost 117,000 jobs last year alone. Not bad for a state that has less than 7 million people.
And frankly, you know, when we were talking earlier in the break room, we were talking about the stigma about the word franchise. And I don't understand it. So I go to a gym right now, and it's a franchise.
Okay.
And I don't understand why people still have that. I don't know if they roll their eyes or something. There's something. There's some negative thing attached to it, and I don't get it. And I think, what a shame. Because to own a franchise, what is wrong with wanting to have a dream to earn a living and be your own boss?
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, there's so many ways I can take this question. For starters, you know, that person that has that opinion must have maybe had a bad experience somewhere or think, oh, franchises are for dummies. You know, where it's so not because...
I think it's the consumer that's making that comment.
Yeah, but there's consumers that only want to go to franchises too because they like the consistency. They know if they go to a brand that is well known in Omaha than if they go to the same one in Tewksbury. Then
see, I like that.
Well, that's what you know. That's what franchises are all about. It's about consistency, right? It's about knowing that. Now, different owners might have a different MO, like in terms of, you know, the Omaha one might not be as clean as the one in Tewksbury. I mean, so, but it's not going to stop you from going there, is it?
Yeah.
Because you're going to go to another one when you're in another city, if that's what you want. And people sometimes would prefer the franchise than the locally owned because they don't know it.
Yeah.
They don't trust it.
I think that it's a cookie cutter system.
Yes.
And I think that it can be a positive because the cookie cutter is just the foundation. It's the individual owners that make it what it is.
And take it to the next level.
And they, exactly.
So when I owned my Snap Fitness, it was the first one in Massachusetts. No one knew what it was. And plus it was a 24-hour gym, which was a novel concept at the time. However, as the marketing grew and people would come into the Cape to visit, they had heard about it from where they were from. And they got a benefit to using my gym because it was reciprocity. And they knew the equipment. They knew the system. They had the card key. So there are benefits to that brand.
Well, I think there's huge benefits. And so you owned your own gym.
Right.
We only have about a minute.
Okay.
So how did you get into it and how did you get out of it?
Oh, my God. In 60
I know.
Seconds?
In 60 seconds or less.
Okay.
I know.
So when I had moved back to Massachusetts from Chicago, I landed on the Cape and was just trying to figure out what to do with my life. I had a new little boy at the time. My mom had had some physical issues. So anyway, a friend of mine who was a franchise consultant at the time, but a longtime friend, said, what are you going to do now? I said, I don't know. She said, would you consider a franchise? I said, okay. And we went through the process and I ended up, you know, going down the path with three companies and identified this one as the one I wanted to pursue, and I never got to know, N-O.
Yeah. Yes.
I kept on going, and it made sense globally. It made sense for me personally, my investment level, the potential, the demographic, and there it went.
All of the above.
All of the above.
And frankly, if you do reach no, that's just when you make a shift and you look at something else.
Right.
Do you want to manage the managers? Do you want to be in it 100% of the time?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. And we're going to talk more about the types of buyers when we come back. So I hope you'll stay hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed. My guest is Elaine Vakalopoulos, and you can go to yourfranchiseoptions.com for more information. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and we're at WATD.
No one pays more for your gold, diamonds, coins, or silver than AJ Marks Jewelers. At AJ Marks, they treat every customer fairly, whether they are selling or buying. AJ Marks is a family-owned business and your premier fine jeweler for every generation. Visit AJ Marks in Hyannis or Wareham if you are looking for a special estate piece, want to create your own custom design, or if you need a jewelry repair. Getting engaged? If it's the right diamond, it's an AJ Marks diamond. Your family-owned jeweler is AJMarksJewelers.com.
A portrait is more than just a picture. It's capturing a single moment in time. When Susan Walker with Elia Photography photographs someone and holds their gaze, she sees all of their love, hope, insecurities, joy, and fear, which have melded together to capture who they are in a single moment in time. Their vulnerability and light come through. They are raw, and it's absolutely beautiful. We invite you to a photo shoot with Susan Walker. It will change the way you see yourself. Contact eliaphotography.com today. ELIAphotography.com.
And we are back. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry. My guest is Elaine Vakalopoulos, and you can go to yourfranchiseoptions.com for more information about figuring out if this is right for you. It's a simple process to begin with, just to fill out, go to your contact page, fill out a little information, connect, have a phone call. It's that simple.
It is that simple. We just start with easy peasy, you know, just no obligation, no stress. What are you looking for? Like, why are you here? What got you to the point of thinking about franchises?
A real honest conversation.
Pretty much. But I like to also give them a foundation on, like, a little franchising 101, I like to call it, where I just give them some, you know, overview of the industry, how it works, the FTC, which the Federal Trade Commission is the governing body for franchises. A lot of people don't know that, what their rights are, what they should or shouldn't have.
What their rights are.
Prior to buying a franchise, looking at the different business models and giving them a sense for what does it cost to get into one of these things.
Yeah.
So it's because
you have to have assets.
You do.
This is not for everybody. We talked about it the last time. You have to have assets. You have to have good credit.
You do.
Yes. So if you can check those two things off, then you can make the next step.
You can go. Yeah, you can get started. I mean, some people, you know, have this idea that they can do it with nominal dollars and you really need something more. So that's okay. I got a young gal the other day. She was lovely, military family. And we talked through it. We did that preliminary call. And she said, you gave me so much useful information. I now know what I have to do. I'll call you next year. Perfect.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, and it was, I don't, this is my job. I love doing this. If I can give you what you need to make a decision one way or the other, we've accomplished our goal.
Yeah. That's a really great thing to do because now she knows what she needs to do, mm-hmm. which is basically save.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is basically come up with the funds.
Right.
But if something is in your heart and you really want to do it mm-hmm. and you really want to own a gym or a McDonald's, I mean, these are, yeah. and it's not all McDonald's. It's not all restaurants.
No, let's just talk about that for a sec.
Okay? Yeah.
So you asked me earlier how many franchises are out there. There was a report that just came out that showed that of the franchises in existence, yes, restaurants do make up the majority, about 40%.
Okay.
All right, like 26% are the quick service ones, the ones that you're in and out. But then 15% are in the personal care business.
Oh, okay.
Health and beauty, wellness, fitness, those. And then the next highest one was business services that made up 14%.
Yeah.
So those go unnoticed.
There's interesting things out there. Mm-hmm. There's interesting things beyond a simple restaurant
or
gym or hair salon.
Yeah.
It's beyond those things that we think of normally.
Right. And just because someone hasn't heard of it doesn't mean that it doesn't have validity and isn't a great company that could give you the foundation to operate your own business, but not by yourself. That's
exactly.
the whole thing about franchising. You're working for yourself, but not by yourself.
Mm. So let's talk about the types of buyers.
Sure.
So there's the owner-operator. What is the owner-operator?
Okay, so
They're in it.
Yeah, yeah. So we try to find out early on, you know, what business model is going to work for you? And is it, you know, something that you plan to be behind the desk or being the soloist? You know, just the solopreneur is a new name word that's out there. And that means you're the face of the business and you're running it day to day doing it. So you're trading your time for the money that you're going to earn.
Mm-hmm.
I have a fellow right now who he's that, and he's the one that actually had a prior experience with a franchise, and he doesn't want any employees. He just wants B2B, and he wants to go direct, and he wants to have, you know, full control of his entire day and not have other, in his word, headaches. That's fine. So that's an owner-operator.
Mm.
The next one, which is highly common, is the semi-absentee opportunity.
Yeah.
And I say semi-absentee because there's no absentee opportunity. You can never not be involved at all.
Yeah.
And this is one where the individual will typically keep their job and build something on the side.
Oh, okay.
Right? So they'll need to allocate upon launch.
Oh, that's not what I thought you were going to say.
15 to 20 hours a week is
okay.
what you need. So you're managing a manager who is taking care of the nitty gritty,
mm-hmm.
right? He or she is running the store, let's call it, because it is going to be a bricks and mortar situation.
Yep.
And, you know, they're making sure that, you know, the clientele is happy, the staff is appropriately scheduled, everything is clicking along, and you're basically just spending your time with that individual and monitoring your metrics from home, from your tablet, from your computer.
Yeah. But it's also mentoring. It's providing insight. It's collaboration. It's supporting each other. It's supporting your top dog employee.
Of course.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And then that semi-absentee owner might become a multi-unit owner or might decide in advance to do that. So they commit to buying X number of units within a geographic area and develop that. So let's just use mine as example. Say I bought one Snap Fitness today, but I had committed to do three or five. So I open the first one after 18 or 24 months. I take that capital, put it into a second, ultimately put it into a third. Mm. So now my investment is building. Now my wealth is building, and I'm building an asset that's going to increase my net worth.
For your future.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So some people start at the outset with a big number. Now, this is a different profile person. Right, this person has deeper pockets. They have experience, especially if it's in the food services. A lot of times the franchises want them to have prior food experience.
Mm.
So that's a little bit of a different conversation. But several people, you know, do start out with three or five, knowing full well that they believe in that product. They know they'll have the backing. They know that their territory is going to thrive on it, and they just kill it.
Mm. So sometimes experience is a good thing.
Well, experience, not necessarily in that
field.
Industry,
mm-hmm.
but in managing people, in being a leader, mm-hmm. in sales and marketing, because you can't be afraid to go out and do things, talk to people, spread the word. You know, you have to be a strategist.
Well, and this goes back to awarding, how franchises are awarded.
Correct.
Because, you know, you're being interviewed.
Mm-hmm. As much as they're,
yes.
You're interviewing them.
Because if they're going to, it's an investment on both sides.
Yes, it is. So I can't go to a franchisor's office and say, hey, I've got the check. I'm ready. Here you go.
Yeah.
You know, but if they don't like me, they're not going to award me a franchise. Mm-hmm. If they don't think that I am the right fit personality-wise, if they don't think that I'm going to follow their direction and I'm going to be a cowboy, they're not going to award me a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it comes down. People do have this assumption that just because they can write a check that they'll get it, and that's not the case.
Yeah. Well, unless you're somebody like Madonna or something, somebody way up there.
I suppose.
But even then, why would you award it unless it's going to be a benefit? Because later on, they're looking at all of those numbers.
Yes.
And they want the success rates. They don't want to just award it to anybody that's going to make it crash and burn.
One, that's not how a good franchise operates, mm-hmm. right? You want them to look at you as a long-term partner.
Yes.
And, you know, they're going to earn their reputation and build their brand by having successful operators, and mm-hmm. that royalty is what sustains them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we have another minute. So there are pioneer establishments or franchises, and then there are the ones that are not well known.
Okay. So
hang on. Did I say that right?
Let me fix it. Okay. I know what you're trying to say. So with franchises that are coming out brand new, they're like emerging brands.
Yes.
So that's one thing that's in its infancy.
Emerging brands,
right,
that people want to glom onto.
Maybe. Okay. If you're a pioneer.
Okay.
So if you're risk averse, okay, you might want that
good
the franchise that's been around for a while.
Yeah, yes. The name
is already recognized and they can validate with many, many owners.
Yeah.
Whereas, like the example I gave at the beginning, where, you know, there's that group that is experience in franchises, but it's an emerging brand.
Yeah.
But people are diving on because they get it.
And actually, either way, are very successful. Either combination,
yeah,
of either people and franchise, if that made sense.
And it just depends on the person's risk tolerance.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. We have to go to break. I hope you'll stay with us. My guest is Elaine Vakalopoulos, and you can go to yourfranchiseoptions.com. Fantastic name of a website. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD.
Do you have a sewing machine? And are you curious about quilting? Whether you're new to the quilting world or you've been quilting for years, Homestead Quilting and Fabrics is here for you. At Homestead Quilting and Fabrics, they provide a large selection of quality fabrics and notions, as well as a variety of classes for beginners and advanced quilters. They give excellent customer service at Homestead Quilting and Fabrics to their local customers and the destination quilters who visit from afar. Visit homesteadquiltingandfabrics.com today.
Looking for a new and affordable way to promote your business? Let Sprout Digital Network create an eye-catching 30-second commercial starring your business. Playing all day long on high-def TVs placed inside popular local restaurants, including Mamma Mia's, Sushi Joy, and Lobster Hut. Reach 100,000 people per month. Spots are filling up fast, so contact Rachel now to lock out your competition. Go to SproutDigitalNetwork.com for more info. That's Sprout DigitalNetwork.com. We make you look good.
Hi, I'm Nicole Perry. And since 2013, you've heard me interview hundreds of business women who share their milestones and successes. Well, I have created a great motivational tool for anyone in business. I call them reflections cards. These cards can help you on your journey from overcoming limiting beliefs to achieving a new powerful mindset. And honestly, people are telling me they're a lot of fun. Contact me through powerfulwomenrevealed.com. Order your reflections cards today. Visit powerfulwomenrevealed.com.
Explanations.
We are back. I almost started singing that last line and forgot that my microphone's probably on. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry. My guest is Elaine Vakalopoulos, and she is with, she owns her own business, and it's yourfranchiseoptions.com, where she helps other people find an franchise that is right for you. And we picked a little reflection card, and I just want to say that you are your brand.
Yes.
Right? I am my brand. We are our brand. Whatever that is that we're, whatever business we're in, that's what we are. And this particular card that you pick says, I don't have a strong enough brand or even know what it could be. That's what you help people do. Help them figure out what direction. It's all about their personality.
Right. It starts with them for sure.
It starts with them, their needs, their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the personality.
No. No,
do they want to be up all night? Do they want to get up at 7 a.m.? Do they want to get up at 12? Like, depending on where they want, how far do they want the business to their home? There's so many other things that come into it.
You listened so well last time, Nicole.
Now, what do you want to share about women? Because the song, the lyrics were like, don't leave your destiny to chance. What are you waiting for? Mm-hmm. Which was a great last line in that song. But what do you want to say about women, the percentages of women that are franchise owned?
Well, given that we're on a show called Powerful Women Revealed, mm-hmm. I think it's important to point out that of all those franchises that are out there today that mm-hmm. we mentioned earlier, 20% are owned by women.
Mm.
I'd like to see that number go up.
It's a good start. Yeah.
The number gets higher when you look at the numbers when they're coupled. If it's a married couple or, you know, a woman and her partner, that goes up to about 43%.
Mm. Oh, okay.
All right. So, you know, we still have some involvement.
23%-ish partnerships, women and men.
43% partnerships, 20 on their own.
Oh, 20%
women on their own own franchises. Okay. And there are a lot of women that have started franchises, that are CEOs and founders of franchises. That could be a whole other show.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's exciting. But
so do you want to talk about some clients that are on your desk right now?
Sure.
You've got folders on your desk. Give an example of something that would be interesting to share.
Okay, well, let's see. So on the woman right
yes.
now. So I have a lovely woman who is in the Mid-Atlantic. She's a assistant dentist. She's got two kids. She's married to a physician, and her endeavor, her search for a franchise is all hers. This is mine. This is my deal. This is my money. I'm doing this on my own.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So she's
what is she looking to do? Can you share or you can't share? She doesn't know yet?
No, she's exploring companies right now, but this would be on a semi-absentee basis. You know, she would do it where, again, she would manage the manager, but you know, she's very, very smart, very critical. She's from a Middle Eastern country, and she's got it going on.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's one young lady.
And again, the semi-absenteeism is when people are kind of starting it on the side.
That's right. They're building something on the side, and often it gets to a point where once they match or exceed what they're currently earning, if that owner's benefit matches, they start to transition out of their full-time job and concentrate on the business full-time, because their role then is to build it.
Yes.
Oversee it, strategize what's next, where do I go?
And you can, as an entrepreneur or business owner or franchise owner, you can have duality things going on, but when they start to match or exceed, that's when you really want to let one go. Because you want to pour more energy into the one that's thriving. Right?
At a certain scale, yes, you absolutely do.
Because they say, who's they? Mm-hmm. You know, they, yeah. All those people out there. They say that it's not a good idea to split and have three or four different businesses or three things or two things or whatever you've got out there.
You know what? I think that depends. So when we talked about the multi-unit owners earlier, so let's say you have folks that own however many, 72 Dunkin' Donuts, right? That same owner has an infrastructure. So now he's going to look at building that with another maybe multi-unit opportunity at a different brand to diversify his investment.
Yeah.
So if the economy does something and it hits donuts, don't ask me what it is, but he might go in a different direction that's less seasonal or not food. So now that his income is more secure. Mm. It's like stocks.
It really is. And you have to watch it and you have to baby it. You really, right? It's everybody's baby. You it have is. To pay attention. You have to let it grow. You have to shift and change when it needs to shift and change.
And you grow your people too, though. And that's an out product of this. So not only is entrepreneurship good for the individual, but like we talked earlier, it's good for the people that are employed by the franchises. It's good for the community.
And it's good for everyone. Yeah. So franchise, it's a positive word. It's a positive word. So now there's the, did we talk about the long-term investment versus the return on investment?
Right. So a lot of people look at franchises sometimes and say, oh, that's too expensive. Mm. You know, well, relative to what would be a question that I'd ask.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously, you know, let's just say, you know, assuming that someone has, you know, we've established their criteria and what they can afford. Then you look at within the categories of opportunities that, you know, are available to them. You say, okay, for the same investment, you look at what the potential return is. How much can you make if you spent the same money for company A, B, or C?
Mm-hmm.
What is your return in for each of those businesses?
Yep.
And how much time do you have to spend
potential.
To make that money?
Yeah, potential return.
Right. So some might earn you 12 to 14%. Others might earn you 18 to 20%.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and then, frankly, when you're looking at the A, B, and C, which one will you have to pour more energy into?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Because so, time is money.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's a big part of it. But the other thing that people don't look at, they say, "Well, I make $100,000 at my job. I'm not going to go to a franchise where it'll take me, you know, I'll only make whatever 40 my first year." Well, obviously, it takes time to build a business, right? So you have to look at when might you meet that $100,000, but is it the same dollar? Because when you work for a company, you have certain taxes that come out, and then you have your after-tax dollars, right? When you own a business, though, you have pre-tax benefits. You can write certain things off.
Mm.
You can write off your car. You can write off your insurance. Maybe your kid works for you.
So what did you say? Off. Is it the same dollar?
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting.
Right? So that you're okay, let me go on, though. So the first year you make that, but the next year your revenues go up, right?
Yeah.
So do your net profits. They might, though, your margin might have improved. So now you didn't make $45,000, you made $70,000 the second year. But when you add all those add backs, is it getting closer to what your salary was?
Hmm.
By year three or four, you probably matched it, but you've exceeded it. You know why? Because now you've built an asset and you have a valuable thing that you could sell.
Yes.
So,
really?
What are you looking at?
Exactly. And it does take 3 to 5 years, is the average, to build a business.
I think that's a safe average across the board, whether it's a franchise or an independent.
So some people might be booming at 2 years, but then some people might be booming at 6 years. It all depends on the person,
the
franchise,
business,
the
right.
business, everything. But that's your base. And frankly, if you're 50 and you spend 3 to 5 years doing something and then you're booming, you're 55, you're providing for your future.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And maybe your children's.
And your children.
It could be something that you want to leave to them. It's like owning a home, right? Why do people buy? It's the American dream.
Mm.
You don't want to spend your money on rent. You want to build some equity.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the business. You're going to spend a little time. That's your equity, your sweat equity.
Yeah.
And then ultimately you'll have something.
Your sweat equity. I love that. I used to say that all the time when we first bought our house. Okay. I hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD. You know, every week you hear me talking with women in and around the South Shore who have powerful missions, products, and services. You may not think that you have a powerful story, but that's because you've lived it. So contact me at powerfulwomenrevealed.com because I'd like to hear your story and together help share your powerful mission.
No one pays more for your gold, diamonds, coins, or silver than AJ Marks Jewelers. At AJ Marks, they treat every customer fairly, whether they are selling or buying. AJ Marks is a family-owned business and your premier fine jeweler for every generation. Visit AJ Marks in Hyannis or Wareham if you are looking for a special estate piece, want to create your own custom design, or if you need a jewelry repair. Getting engaged? If it's the right diamond, it's an AJ Marks diamond. Your family-owned jeweler is AJMarksJewelers.com.
till I don't go there. Everybody says, say something, say something.
It is a great song. I love it. It's Justin Timberlake. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and my guest is Elaine Vakalopoulos, and we are talking about franchises and franchising and owning a franchise and who is the right person to own a franchise. And what right now I want to go into is what prevents people from saying yes. Because a lot of people will say maybe and walk away.
Sure.
And then just not do it.
That happens plenty.
Yes. And we talked about this on the last show.
Yeah. Franchising isn't for everyone. Business isn't for everyone.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
You have to have a certain stock to do it. Right. And if it's not a burning desire, then certainly they're not going to. But a lot of people try it. They give a call. They want to learn more. And they find out, oh, just because it's a franchise doesn't mean that it's just all going to come easy. And I still have to work at it really hard, and I'm not confident enough to do that. I don't feel like I have the sales skills necessary, or I don't like talking to people, or whatever it might be. In the end, they just figure this isn't for them, and that's fine, because God, if everyone had a franchise, none of us would make any money.
Yeah.
Right? That would be overload.
Well, we wouldn't have any nurses or doctors or celebrities or musicians or everything else under the sun that people... Yes.
Right. So just not being the right type is certainly one reason why people don't go forward. Fear is another. I mean, there's a lot to be said for that. I mean, the fear of the unknown.
So what happens to the confidence? Because people must have confidence when they come to you originally. Are they just...
Then it's the finances. Then it gets real.
Then it gets real about the finances.
Yeah, I mean, obviously...
Or the lack thereof.
We figure it out early. If the finances aren't there, then we don't move forward, right? And either they say, oh, yeah, and they figure, I never will. Or like the gal I mentioned earlier from California, she'll pull it together when the time is right.
Yeah.
But others, they're too risk averse. I mean, I had a couple where the husband, he's a software guy, and he's in his 50s, and it took him, it was almost 2 years, and he couldn't find a job. So we started the search for a franchise, and his wife was in the background saying no. She was so afraid. I don't always know what's going on behind the scenes, of course, right?
Yeah.
But you know, he had to educate her, he had to appease her, he had to make her comfortable, and he ultimately bought a franchise. And in the end, she said, sometimes I think you're crazy, but it always does work out. But you don't, all spouses don't go that way.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know.
Yeah,
you have
but
to.
You said in the last interview that information eliminates fear.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
Right.
The more information that you can gather, which is what you want to do with anything. If you're putting an addition on your house, you want to get as much information as you possibly can so you make the right decisions,
because
you're not building it from scratch. It's something that's getting added on. And so information is what diminishes fear.
Yes, I agree with that. Knowledge is key. But then Say you have been working with me and we're down the line and you found a concept that you love and you were so excited, and I'm like, well, okay, and you're deciding whether or not you want to do one and or then, a territory of three.
And I love it and I'm excited, and then suddenly I say maybe.
Well, but what you might have done is talk to someone who said, oh, really? You're going to do what? You're going to pay what?
Outside influences.
And that happens plenty. And then it causes self-doubt. It causes doubt in the whole process. Like, was I doing the right thing? Maybe I was being rash, whatever. So that, I mean, those kind of things happen. I mean, life gets in the way.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah. And sometimes people get a job and they think that's better and they hop to it because that's a known factor.
Yes. But you don't own anything in the end.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like leasing a car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you own your car, at least you own it in the end. I'm on the fence about the whole leasing thing because I'm riding a lemon right now.
Oh.
But it's the same. It's that same concept.
Yeah.
It's the same concept. Mm-hmm. All right. So now, so sometimes it's the spouses, sometimes it's outside influences, mm-hmm. sometimes it's the confidence. Who's your ideal person to call you up?
Gosh.
Who's your ideal person? Is it really a man? Not necessarily.
The majority.
The majority.
The majority of the buyers are men.
So this is the reality of it. The majority of them are. So that's not necessarily ideal. But
it's someone who actually has a passion to build something, to own something, to have a business, and has a view for the future. So my new line is, don't let the present get in the way of your future.
Oh, I like that.
When is it ever a good time to have a baby? When is it ever a good time to have, you know, buy a home? Is it ever going to be an ideal time to own a business? Maybe not.
You know? See, I always say, don't not have a baby because you don't have the money.
Well, you need money to have a business.
Exactly. But don't let that get in the way because you'll never have the money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'll never get it. Okay, so you need to have the assets.
Right, but you also need to have that burn
drive,
inside
you. That burning desire, that drive.
That you want to do something for yourself.
Which Americans have.
Yes. Many of them think they do.
And then they discover that they don't.
Something peters out.
Suddenly what?
Something peters out.
Oh, something peters out.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that we hit about finances, the confidence, mm-hmm. the outside chatter.
Yeah.
You got to listen to your own inner instincts.
There's a book out there on franchising, and there's a chapter that's called, but it's about the 1%. There's only 1% that move forward with their own businesses.
There's only 1%. Wow. And what is the 5% we have to go? We're out of time.
Oh, no. And that was my estimate before. Like, in terms of who buys a franchise, like, out of 100, it could be 1% to 5%.
Yeah.
It depends on, you know, the numbers, though. If you got those lucky five in the system that were ready, willing, and able.
Well, it is worth a conversation. It is worth it. Your future is worth a conversation.
You won't know until you ask.
You won't know. Oh, my God. And wouldn't it be fitting right here, this little quote I'm leaving with, take a chance. All life is a chance. The person who goes the furthest is generally the one who is willing to do and dare, by Dale Carnegie. We are out of time.
How did
Thank
that happen?
Thank you so much for being here. I know it goes by so fast. Elaine Vakalopoulos, you can go to yourfranchiseoptions.com. I want to thank you for listening. I hope you'll tune in next Sunday after the news at noon. Until then, I'm your host, Nicole Perry. Have a great week. And remember, knowledge is power.